Hearty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Casablanca, where Morocco will host Mauritania Saturday in the opening match of the African Nations Championship Football Tournament, also called CHAN. A reminder for our VOA football fans, the African Nations Championship is not to be confused with the Africa Cup of Nations, although the two competitions sound similar. The African Nations Championship is for locally based players on the continent, and they must compete in their domestic leagues. So, for example, all the players on the Moroccan team at CHAN 2018 compete for Moroccan clubs. All the players on the Mauritanian team at CHAN 2018 compete for Mauritanian clubs, and so on and so forth. On Sunday, there will be three games. In Casablanca, Guinea will go against Sudan in a Group A encounter, while in Marrakesh, Ivory Coast will play Namibia and Zambia will challenge Uganda. Both of those matches are in Group B. On Monday, Group C will take center stage at CHAN 2018. With two matches in Morocco's northwestern coastal city of Tangier. Libya is matched against Equatorial Guinea, and Nigeria will play Rwanda. And on Tuesday, January 16th, we'll see the opening matches in Group D played in another Moroccan coastal city, Agadir, located near the foot of the Atlas Mountains. Angola will go against Burkina Faso, and Cameroon will play Congo Brazzaville. The top two teams in each of the four groups will advance to the quarterfinals on January 27th and January 28th. The semifinals are scheduled for January 31st, and the final is set for February 4th in Casablanca. More African football news. While Liberia waits for new president George Weah to start fulfilling his electoral promises, Cameroonians already are asking him to remember their country. 30 years ago, former African football star Weah played for the Tenere Kalara Club, based in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. Weah was noticed by Claude Lelouch, then coach of Cameroon's national football team. What memories do Weah's former teammates and friends have of the man who will be Liberia's next president? Moki Edwin Kinzeka answers that question for us from Yaoundé.
Jean-Paul Akono is George Weah's former manager, who also coached Cameroon's national team, the Indomitable Lions. Akono still vividly remembers how the football star was contacted to play for Tonnerre Kalala Club.
It was after a match Tonnerre Kalala Football Club of Yaoundé played in Liberia that my late predecessor and friend Bendongo Paul Gaston detected George Weah. He inflicted bad luck to Tonnerre by defeating them.
Akono says during the match, Weah scored twice for his Liberian side, Invincible 11. Tonnerre's president, General Pierre Semenge of the Cameroon Armed Forces, says during the match he saw lots of untapped talents in the young footballer and ordered negotiations for Weah to join TKC.
When he arrived,
The first match he played was against Canon. He netted 2 goals.
General Simenge says even with the impressive debut, Weah's first several months in Cameroon were difficult because he lived in a one-bedroom apartment with some of his teammates.
The house you see here is called the Boys' Quarter. Before he was officially lodged by my wife with other players like Kofi Abre and Seram Mensah, Tonnet strikers were very popular among English speakers in Cameroon. They were lodged here free of charge.
Weah's most outstanding performance in Cameroon was when he led his team to win the 1988 Challenge Cup. Akono says Weah played brilliantly in front of Cameroon president Paul Biya.
Simply said, he is a person who brought a plus, a very big impetus, if I may say, not only to Tonnerre Yaoundé, but to Cameroon football in general.
Weah's arrival in Cameroon also created jealousy among some of Tonnerre's top players. Striker Dieudonné Nké says he had created an attack partnership with Stephen Tato, who later became captain of the Indomitable Lions. But when Weah arrived, his coaches preferred him to Tato.
Les dépendances. Avant d'être logé officiellement par ma femme.
The recruiting agent was called Mr. Onis. When he saw Weah in action on the field, he immediately fell in love with him. That is how he asked Weah to play in place of Tato.
Weah's outstanding performances were noticed by Claude Leroy, then coach of Cameroon's national football team. Leroy then linked Weah with officials of AS Monaco. This is how George Weah started his professional career in Europe. He played for Paris Saint-Germain FC, Milan AC, Chelsea FC and Manchester City Football Club. Akono says while in Europe, Weah would jokingly call and ask for his favorite Cameroon meals like bâton de manioc, a cassava paste, and some of his favorite Cameroonian music.
À l'annonce qu'il a gagné les élections, j'ai exulté de joie parce que
he loved Cameroonian music in general, but particularly music by Didi Eyango.
Both Dieudonné Nké, Jean-Paul Akono, and General Pierre Simenge asked me to play this song on the ups and downs of a man by Makossa icon Didi Eyango for the listening and dancing pleasure of Weah, whom they say is their courageous player, now president. And most importantly, Dieudonné Nké says George Weah should remember Cameroon football, which helped launch his career to great heights and especially helped Tonnerre Yaoundé, whose years of glory are now over.
Le recruteur, c'était Monsieur Onis. Après qu'il a vu Weah,
when it was announced that he had won elections, I shouted with joy because it is not every day that you have a teammate who finds himself at the highest position in a state.
For the sunny side of sports, I am Moki Edwin Kinzika in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki. I really enjoyed those memories of George Weah. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of African sports news is reporter Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. And Samson kicks off with the 2016 African Footballer of the Year.
Liverpool are in talks to sign Leicester City winger Riyad Mahrez, but the Algerian is holding out on a late move from Arsenal. The 26-year-old has been identified by Jurgen Klopp as a replacement for Philippe Coutinho. Mahrez handed in a transfer request last summer in a bid to force through a move to a top-six club, but suitors were put off by Leicester City's £50 million valuation. Staying with football news, former Barcelona and Cameroon striker Samuel Eto'o believes that South Africa has the potential to become Africa's powerhouse in football, but only if they go back to the basics. South Africa, together with Cameroon, were booted out of the 2018 World Cup qualifiers, and the Cameroonian striker says it's just a matter of time.
Cameroon, the next time is going to have opportunity in 4 years, but now another team in Africa, like Morocco, Egypt, Nigeria, Tunisia or Senegal, is have possibility to make this dream true.
And now to other sports news. Ghana is set to host the prestigious Hockey Africa Cup for Club Championship Tournament at the Theodosia Oko Hockey Stadium from Saturday, January 20th to the 28th. President of the Ghana Hockey Federation, Richard Akpokavie, is confident a Ghanaian club can win the championship for the first time.
There will be six male teams and six female teams. Every single year, we've held the African Cup for Club Champions, and this year happens to be the 30th edition. This will be the fourth time Ghana will be hosting this event.
And Kenya will host the FUSA International Karate Championship at the Kasarani Stadium from the 17th to the 24th of next month, and will bring together hundreds of players who will compete in four categories. This will be one of the series of events on the 2018 karate calendar. And finally, in cricket news, South African national cricket team, the Proteas opening batsman Aiden Markram, insists there are opportunities for batsmen to make an impact despite the sporting conditions in the ongoing Freedom Series against India.
Generally, it's good for batting. A lot of our scores there. So I'd like to think it'll be good, but I'm sure we're going to prepare it fairly similar to last week, maybe not as extreme, but it's something along those lines.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and have a nice weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. More African football news now. The Ethiopia Football Federation has postponed elections scheduled for Saturday until March 3rd. The decision comes after World Football's governing body, FIFA, wrote to the federation to recommend the postponement, the third in 3 months. Last month, the Ethiopia Football Federation's Electoral Committee chairperson, Zerun Mekinen, said FIFA's electoral code was violated with regard to the screening of both candidates and Electoral Committee members. In a letter dated January 8th, FIFA's first female Secretary General, Fatma Samora of Senegal, strongly advised the federation to seriously consider postponing the elections. For its part, FIFA says it studied the matter with the Confederation of African Football, CAF, and proposed the elections be postponed until after the African Nations Championship in Morocco. So the Ethiopians heard Samora's call, they heard FIFA's call, and they've postponed the elections until March. Five people, including the incumbent Janedi Basha, are candidates in the presidential election, and 16 others are bidding to sit on the executive committee. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, our big African boxing story of the week. So please, keep on the sunny side.
Oh, keep on the sunny side. Always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way. If you keep on the sunny side of life. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side, keep on.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa program. As the Voice of America begins its 76th year of broadcasting, this historical note, launched in 1965 by the legendary music man Leo Sarkisian, Music Time in Africa is the VOA's longest-running English-language program. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Our big African boxing story this week was Ghana's Isaac Dogbe winning the World Boxing Organization's interim super bantamweight championship in front of cheering fans in the capital, Accra. It was the first world title fight of 2018. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to this post-fight report from our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori.
Ghana's undefeated Isaac Dogbe knocked out Cesar Juarez of Mexico to win the interim WBO World Super Bantamweight title. At the fully packed 4,000-seater Bukom Arena in Accra, boxing fans and various supporters groups cheered and danced in appreciation. Dogbe went straight into action in round one when he threw heavy body punches. The Ghanaian increased his tempo and with a strong left sent his opponent to the canvas in round two. But Juarez managed to beat the referee's count. In round three and four, the Mexican started with some body shots, but those were not enough to intimidate the highly spirited Dogbe. The 23-year-old Ghanaian started the fifth round like a real warrior and punished Juarez with heavy body shots, which sent him to the floor and looked hurt. The American referee Tony Weeks, saving the situation, waved to end the fight.
You know, in all things, like I keep saying, my victories are not by my own strength. My victory came from the Lord Almighty. And I thank God for this, for another great victory. You know, I've proven a lot of people wrong. And I just want to give glory to the Almighty God for this great victory today. And I want to say a big thank you to the team around me, working so hard. My father and my assistant and his assistant coaches, you know, these guys have worked so hard. My one Zakim, you know, of Kempinski, Group Koshigan, Ellis Koshigan, and John Marfo. These guys have worked so hard. Look, I am over the moon. And like I said, I just give glory to God for this victory. And I want to say a big thank you to the nation of Ghana. And I hope that I've proven everyone wrong, or I should say I've proven everyone right, that, you know what, Isaac Dogbe is a real deal.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Bukom Arena, Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In more African boxing news, former WBA lightweight champion Paulus Moses of Namibia will get another title shot next month here in the United States. The 39-year-old Moses will fight Mexico's Rey Beltran for the vacant WBO lightweight title on February 16th in Reno, Nevada. Moses has a professional record of 40 wins and 3 losses with 25 knockouts. He held the WBA lightweight title belt from 2009 to 2010. Meanwhile, the Mexican Beltran, who's 36 years old, has a professional record of 34 victories, 7 defeats, and 1 draw. This is Beltran's third shot at a world title. Fighting for the WBO lightweight title in 2013, the Mexican ended up in a disputed draw with Scottish fighter Ricky Burns in Glasgow. And the following year, Beltran lost a unanimous decision to American Terrence Bud Crawford. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. American tennis star Serena Williams and her daughter, Alexis Olympia Ohanian Jr., both appeared on the cover of Vogue magazine this week. It's a great cover shot. Serena is shown rocking a form-fitting red leotard, and her daughter, Alexis, is in a simple white one-piece. Serena looks great, Alexis looks great, but there's a story behind the photo, sports fans. In the accompanying story in Vogue magazine, Serena talks about the health scare she had during her pregnancy. She talks about developing several small blood clots in her lungs while in the hospital to give birth to Alexis. The 36-year-old Williams is married to Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian. She has not played in a tournament since she won her 23rd Grand Slam singles title at the 2017 Australian Open. Serena has already announced that she will not compete at next week's Australian Open, which begins on Monday, saying she just doesn't feel that she's completely fit for tournament play. But I got to tell you, check out that cover on Vogue magazine, because Serena definitely looks great, as well as her daughter, Alexis. In National Basketball Association news, the Boston Celtics staged a big rally to beat the Philadelphia 76ers on Thursday, 114-103. In the NBA London game 2018, played in the British capital, the Celtics overcame a 22-point deficit to beat the 76ers. This was the 8th time the NBA has staged a game in England. Kyrie Irving helped spark the Celtics in the comeback. He had 20 points, 7 assists, and 6 rebounds. Jaylen Brown added 21 points for the Celtics. Joel Embiid, Cameroon's young star center, had 16 points. And another young player for the 76ers, Ben Simmons, added 15 points. And taking a quick look at the scores of the other NBA games on Thursday, the Los Angeles Lakers beat the San Antonio Spurs 93-81. The Toronto Raptors crushed LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers 133-99. Wow, what a lopsided margin. And in the other NBA game on Thursday, the Los Angeles Clippers defeated the Sacramento Kings 121-115. And that wraps up the January 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Skip Sisk. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Religious freedom is an internationally acknowledged human right,
recognized as such in the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the United Nations International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the Helsinki Accords, and many covenants and declarations. The promotion of religious freedom is a central element of the United States foreign policy. Countries that protect freedom of religion are more stable, economically successful, and peaceful. Nonetheless, in far too many places around the globe, people continue to be persecuted, unjustly prosecuted, or imprisoned for exercising their right to freedom of religion or belief. Today, a number of governments infringe upon individuals' ability to adopt, change, or renounce their religion or belief, worship in accordance with their religion or beliefs, or be free from coercion to practice a particular religion or belief, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert in a written statement. In accordance with the International Religious Freedom Act of 1998, the Secretary of State annually designates governments that have engaged in or tolerated systematic, ongoing, and egregious violations of religious freedom as countries of particular concern. At the end of December, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson redesignated Burma, China, Eritrea, Iran, North Korea, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan as countries of particular concern for having engaged in or tolerated particularly severe violations of religious freedom. The Secretary also placed Pakistan on a special watch list for severe violations of religious freedom. From the beginning, America has been a place that has cherished the freedom of worship. Sadly, many around the globe do not enjoy this freedom, said President Donald Trump. We pray for the strength and wisdom to achieve a better tomorrow, one where good people of all faiths, Christians and Muslims and Jewish and Hindu, can follow their hearts and worship according to their conscience.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.